For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. A lot to talk about. The Lakers won the ship. Big weekend in college football, and the NFL and the MLB playoffs are in the Champions League series. So get excited, buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, cuz they're free. Sode 281. Coming hot at you guys in Sode 280. And I'm joined on this one by Nikki Snacks Crider and Alex Toss Me the Rock Tassopoulos. And in the introduction, I said Champion League Series. I think, was that European soccer or something along the lines of that? I'm getting my sports mixed up, but it's League Champion Series. That went underway with the Rays and the Astros tonight. People are starting to bet on the Rays. I have a couple of friends who are starting to throw stacks on the Rays.
Stacks on Rays.
And you know where they're betting, Nick? If you had to guess.
If I had to guess, I'd probably say they were putting their money down at betonline.ag.
Toss?
Yeah, I would guess the exact same thing.
Interesting.
That they were putting their money down at betonline.ag.
I'd be willing to bet on betonline.ag that the people who are putting money down on the Rays are going to betonline.ag.
Yeah, so head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. I think that was probably about 8 times, which might be the number of rings LeBron ends up with whenever he decides to retire, which could be never.
Very interesting. Wow.
So
could be never.
Four more years. How many of those rings does his son also get with him? Bronny Jr.
One. He's one. If Bronny Jr. gets the NBA, hopefully he does.
Yeah, let's let him get
He wins one with him, and then he's like, okay, I'm done now.
That would be crazy.
I love all the memes and little tweets on Twitter and Instagram talking about Bronny James looking out the driveway, waiting for LeBron to get home, all scared. Because LeBron's going to beat his ass for smoking that joint on IG Live.
You know, how old is he? We spoke about that on the show.
He's 15, 16?
He'll be 16 this year, or next year, maybe.
To quote my favorite movie, life's too short, McLovin. Smoke up. You know what I'm saying? Who cares at this point? LeBron's son. He can pretty much do whatever he wants.
Right, right. That's a joke.
Exactly. As long as it's not harmful. That's a nice hat you got. Where'd you get that, Nick? The established in Austin, Texas hat.
The Austin, Texas hat?
Yeah.
Guess.
The airport? Austin?
The Austin airport.
Nice.
Austin Bergstrom?
Yes.
Bergstrom airport. The best airport food. Actually, I would go early to eat.
They've got tacos. They've got barbecue.
I've even got ice cream before a flight there once.
They do have ice cream. They've got a great Auntie Anne's pretzel place.
which you can't find in any other airport in the United States.
I'm sure you can't.
It's the lone anti-ands in an airport. I think that's the only place you can find
anti-ands. They don't have an LAX. I know that.
Have you seen an anti-ands not in an airport or in a mall?
What? Yeah.
No,
where? In Penn Station. Multiple. There's like multiple.
Yeah.
Penn Station's basically a mall, though.
It's basically an
airport. Okay. An airport. Or a travel stop that is for the trains.
A station.
They have stores.
So it's a mall.
In the mall.
It's basically a mall.
It's a mall. No. I'm saying the Annie Ann has like establishments.
Do they not? It's been,
I feel like they do.
That's why I bring the question up. Because it's been some time or it's been never since I've seen like a standalone Auntie Anne's.
What do you get at Auntie Anne's?
Oh, I usually get the garlic pretzel.
Really?
Or like the garlic pretzel bites.
Wow. So you go the savory route instead of the sweet route.
I go the cinnamon.
I'm always savory.
Really?
Always.
Okay.
You're not a big sweet guy.
I mean, I'll enjoy it like some ice cream every now and then or like a cookie, but
you would never put like strawberry schmear on a bagel. You're always gonna go the savory like bagel sandwich route.
Disgusting.
No.
I would never go
blueberry schmear?
We're also Jews, like bagels and lox.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think Jews use a variety of different schmears.
I'll do a sweet bagel with a savory, only savory filling, for sure. But sometimes I'll do like a cinnamon bagel with like sausage, egg, and cheese. It's good.
I'll do like an everything bagel with bacon, egg, and cheese.
It's nice.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's great. It's classic.
Not kosher.
No.
But it's fun.
It's fun.
It is fun. Most things that are kosher are not fun. Sorry. It's the truth. But speaking of fun, we're going to have a little fun on the show. We're going to play a game. We like to spice things up in the bedroom in the Charity Stripe. And what we'll do is we each have three questions. None of us know each other's questions.
I don't even know my own questions yet.
Nick doesn't even know his own questions. And what's going to be, we're going to go around the room. You're going to ask somebody, one of us. So if I ask Nick or Toss, vice versa, ask them a question. And they got to answer it, all right? With something that happened this week in sports.
Okay.
I'll start off.
It's just such a novel concept, asking questions and then answering them.
I know. It's such an interesting. We create here in the
church. We're paving the way for podcast down the road.
Podcast, yeah. We'll be asking each other questions. Why is this night different than any other night? All right, Toss.
Yes.
Lakers won the championship 4-2. LeBron wins his fourth finals MVP, his fourth title. What does this A mean for his legacy and B mean for the Lake Show going forward?
For his legacy, I mean, I think the narrative this year for him has kind of transformed away from, is it him or is it Michael Jordan? And people are starting to look at how long he's been doing it. I think that's the thing that I've heard most people talk about recently, is how long he's been this good, how he continues to adapt his game, how I think he had his 11th triple-double in NBA Finals games, which is incredibly impressive.
He's like two away from Magic Johnson in postseason triple-doubles. Magic has like 30 and LeBron has 28.
28.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I don't want to get into, for me, it's not about him versus MJ.
Okay.
And I think that the more and more people watch him, the more and more they realize how different of a player he is, how it's like comparing. They're just two different types of players. And I think I'm really impressed with him. He demands respect he said, now everyone can start talking about me. You know, there's the whole thing with the MVP, with Giannis, and how he was, whether he actually was perturbed by it or not, I don't necessarily know if he really cares, but, you know, he said he was bummed that he didn't get more first place votes, even though he kind of gave the nod to Giannis.
Okay. Who should have, just to go at that before you get into the next part of it, who should have, in your opinion, won the MVP?
I still think Giannis.
Yeah, I know, it's like unquestionably Giannis.
Okay, so then you don't just hand out first place votes just to hand them out. If you're voting for the MVP and you think Giannis should win the MVP, like we all do, you're going to vote for Giannis to win the MVP. So right. I didn't get enough first place votes because everyone thought Giannis should win it. They're not just going to vote for LeBron.
Just think that not only is he a fantastic basketball player and what seems to be a fantastic human, but all of the great things that he does in the charity space, he's also an excellent storyteller. Clearly, he knows how to manipulate the media. It's something he's been doing, whether it's manipulating or just playing the game. Yeah, playing the game really is a better way of putting it. And I think that that's part of playing the game is that you have to show people that you're fired up about this. You have to, when you're put in this, you know, position where you can make an impact, for social change, talk about it, which is something he did throughout the bubble experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he is the perfect ambassador for the league, and he's the perfect ambassador for John and Vinny's spicy fusilli pasta as well. Josh, you're wearing the hat. He had the full John and Vinny's fit last game, game five, yeah. Which they lost. So maybe that was telling.
But I think he got his for free, I think.
Hell of a game. Yeah, he probably did get it for free. I mean, he gets a lot of things for free.
I did not.
Funny enough.
Yeah, right? It's always interesting how that works.
In the restaurant space, like, hey, like, that's LeBron James. He's like, let's take extra good care of him. Let's send him some dessert, you know? Let's get him some wine. It's like, come on. LeBron James doesn't need.
Let's send the UCLA students the dessert.
And from what I've heard, he does. He likes sweet as well as savory.
He does.
Is that true?
I think he's a man of both tastes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
But no, I think what you're going back to, what you said, though, is I think he's really writing his own narrative, you know, and going out and doing it with three different teams. You know, like you said, he's the first player.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because it's a totally different NBA. The NBA experience, what NBA players do, how they look at moving around, how management looks at pieces rather than, you know, individuals and what they mean to sometimes to cities. You know, LeBron has played on three different teams now.
Yep.
So
I'm done comparing guys.
I don't think it's that part that he's done it on three different teams. Like, I wouldn't expect anyone previous to him to have done that.
Yeah,
because it wasn't the thing that people.
It wasn't
did.
A different thing, but I think it's still impressive nonetheless that every team he goes to, and not that it wouldn't have happened with MJ, Magic, Larry, but every team that it's been proven that he goes to. Automatic title contender.
And the other thing is, like,
not
the
even
teams
like
that he was
the favorite.
The team before he was there wasn't great. The Lakers weren't great. The Cavs weren't great.
They had the second overall pick back to back to back years.
Exactly. I mean, he was the only team, but that's because they, you know, did the whole collusion thing of getting together.
They already had.
Wade already got his ship there by himself. So
The Cavs sucked. The Cavs sucked. They had Anthony Bennett.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Wiggins. Like, they had the first
pick. Lakers sucked too. The last, like,
stunk.
Five years.
He goes from he could take a team from worst to first, and I think.
An heartbeat.
I'm done comparing guys. I mean, it's like the thing with like at football. Peyton is different than Brady, and Brady's different than Mahomes, and Mahomes is different than Russell Wilson. They're all writing their own narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, you can talk about him with Bird, Magic, Michael. You can talk about him with all those guys because he is always going to be in that GOAT conversation, if not be the front runner for most people. And he just continues to prove that with the longevity thing, I think is so impressive. Also, just like everyone knows it, you know, we don't have to talk about it for a long time, but the pieces that he brought, the supporting cast, he's never had amazing supporting casts. Mm-hmm. This one was not great, but guys did step up.
So many familiar faces though. I remember like tonight when I was watching it and they're giving the whole speech and the ceremony of, you know, presenting the MVP and the trophy. So many guys that you see, you're like, holy shit, he just got Jared Dudley a ring. He just got JaVale McGee a ring. He just got Jason Kidd another ring as an assistant coach. He's got Rondo a ring. You know, he just got
McGee's
all these guys.
McGee got another one. Rondo got another one. Dwight got his first one.
Dwight got his first one, right?
You know? Quinn Cook gets a third one.
Danny Green gets back to back.
Right, exactly. And you see all these guys that have been vets in the league that get it now. They're being a bench player on LeBron's team.
Dion Waiters, we knew he was going to get it either way. He gets it with the Lakers. I think he'd rather have gotten it with the Lakers anyway.
Yeah.
It's probably a better storybook ending this entire year, the passing of Kobe Bryant. I think it's the perfect period on
Avery
Bradley the craziness
still gets
of this
one, right?
year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he opted out, but, I mean, he was part of the team.
Yeah,
he gets one. Like, the same way like Dion Waiters would have gotten one with the
Heat. Right.
Yeah.
So what does it mean for the Lake Show going forward? Now, because you and I have previously discussed on the couch – just lounging
well,
around.
I think
this is the best
couch talk.
This is the best player. As good as Dwayne Wade is, Anthony Davis is the best player he's played with, I think.
Fit-wise, for sure.
Yes. Even just Dwayne Wade, an amazing playoff basketball player. Better playoff basketball player than he was in the regular season. Tremendous regular season basketball player as well.
But dominant superstar, AD.
Never, I mean, we've talked about it. Dwayne Wade was in MVP voting like one time in his career.
Right. AD's always in it.
AD's always in it. He's always been in it, even when he was on the Pels.
AD's a top five player in the league.
Yes. Do I think that AD can win a championship as the best player on his team? No.
Really?
I don't. I really don't. Unless somehow playing with LeBron unlocks him for future years without LeBron, I think for me, you have to keep them together as long as you can.
Of course.
And continue to ride this wave into next year. Keep the supplementary pieces around that you need. Replace them with young guys if you need to. and just make sure that AD and LeBron are healthy for next year's playoffs.
I think he could be the best player on his team, but it would have to be a situation where there's guys like Duncan was the best player on his team, but he had a Parker and he had a Ginobili.
Yeah.
So if all-star guards. You need like an all-star
guard. If you don't have AD with if you don't have him with Chris Paul, James Harden, or Luka Doncic, I don't know if he's going to win.
You need an all-star guard.
Dame.
AD and Dame is great. I think you need an all-star guard, though, for sure. An all-star guard.
Right.
Yeah. So do you think they have to retool, though? They can't run it back like that. If they run it back like this.
Well, I think there's some guys that we mentioned who are gone.
How many of those guys are going to retire?
Yeah. We'll see.
I mean, if LeBron says, hey, you're playing another year because we need you, that's a different story. I think I really only envision that one guy being Rondo.
The king calls for your services yet another year.
You think Dwight's going to retire?
Dwight. I think Dwight follows the money and someone else pays him.
Because now he's going to get the money.
By the way, did you guys see Dwight bang that three at the end of the game?
No.
Yeah, there was 23 seconds left and he banged a three.
Really?
super disrespectful. Love that.
Yeah. He's an idiot.
He's pretty boneheaded, but he does have a ring, and I'm glad he got back, even despite all of his antics.
Yeah, I mean, he's got two of the things that players chase after in the league: an MVP and a championship. He's got both,
and a Defensive Player of the Year award as well.
He didn't win MVP. He came in second 1 year.
Did he?
Dwight.
Yeah. I thought he won that year.
No, second.
Who won that year?
He came in second. D Rose's year.
Oh.
Or maybe one of LeBron's years, but he Defensive Player of the Year 3 years in a row.
Gotcha. Yeah.
He won
a dunk contest. There you go.
Yeah, he's a dunk champ.
Before the show started, Nick, you pointed out that Kostas Antetokounmpo now has a ring.
Before his brother,
is his brother going to get one? Is it inevitable that his brother's going to get one? I can't say that.
His brother's 25 years old. If he plays as well as he does, I mean, LeBron is, what, 35 right now? That's 10 more years. He's got a 10-year gap. To do that. And he's one of the younger players who's a superstar right now. I mean, LeBron's going to be well retired when he's 30.
Sure.
They're going to do something in the offseason.
Just think that,
Or he'll go somewhere else. He'll go to the Mavs and win it with Luka.
Maybe. I mean, I would love that, obviously.
Do something for sure.
LeBron, again, talked about it. His adaptability is to me the most impressive part of his game. He had some turnover issues in the games that they lost against the Heat. Zero turnovers tonight.
And a triple-double.
Went around and turned it around and did exactly what his team needed from him. Yeah. So that's just super, super impressive. Also, that team defensively was
pretty cool,
really,
that,
really good.
We're in the city of L.A. as this is all happening. Obviously, pandemic has been, it's going to quiet some things. It's going to be a muted interaction. But I did hear some fireworks popping off as soon as they were.
Oh, yeah. People were downtown by the Staples Center.
Yeah. I mean, from what I heard, if the Dodgers or the Lakers would have won something, last year or 2 years ago, then people would have rioted. And I don't see that happening right now.
I'm not a fan of the riot. But those are those are two of my questions because it was a double question.
Sure, I got one for you then.
Shoot, Nick, please.
All right. So I kind of touched upon this earlier today, but there's a lot of teams, that are going to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
That are going to be picking, at the number one pick.
I love this question.
And, the expectation, people are guessing, saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one overall pick, right? And so there's a lot of teams that are going to have the opportunity to take him. So looking at the standings right now, you got the Falcons who are winless. You got the Giants who are winless. You've got the Jets that are winless. You've got a couple of one-win teams like the Jags, the Texans, the Broncos, the Chargers, but they're not as bad. the Bengals, and you've got the Lions. You've got the football team. You got the Eagles. You got so many teams. You got the Vikings.
Yeah.
Out of those, give me three teams that are legitimately going to be looking for a quarterback. Because if, let's say, the Jets get it, the Giants get it, are they going to take Trevor Lawrence at number one?
You can't. If you are the New York Jets, under no circumstance can you take Trevor. You just can't do it. Because what happens? You trade Darnold for a second-round pick. Okay. You have the Seahawks pick. Okay. They have nothing. They have the worst receiving group, the worst tight end group. They have Le'Veon Bell, a very mediocre, at best, offensive line. Becton's been good. And you can look at Joe Douglas. Oh, a great pick by Joe Douglas. It's pretty much a no-brainer. If you don't take Becton or Wirfs, who have both been very good so far, you're a complete idiot and should be fired. The Jets drafted, the Jets' former GM drafted a guy, Polite. They got to cut him before the season started. He had a sack today for the Rams. He's going to be productive, help. I mean, the Jets just been a dumpster fire. They have nothing on the defensive side of the football. Their coach is going to be fired. You have to, if you're the Jets, you have no choice but to trade that pick and get whatever. You get three first-round picks. Get the house. Go to the Steelers who go, okay, you have a great defense. You have a good offense. You've been drafting super well. Give me three first-round picks, 2 seconds, and a fourth.
It seems to me like this pick right here is the most valuable pick we've seen in years.
He is the best QB I have seen since Luck, but I don't think he's better than Andrew Luck.
Okay. Well, not yet, obviously. We don't know.
I know in college. It's just like it's so weird because they played Miami this week, and Miami with like, oh, Miami's back, the turnover chain, Ligma with that. Because
Miami's good. They're the number 7 overall team. They're good. They played well, but Clemson's they're the on
number
another level.
7
but
overall
Clemson
team.
Is on a whole
different
level.
Ball game.
They are far and away the best team in college football.
They're the best quarterback, one of the best head coaches, the best running back. And the defense is insane. It's like five stars across the board. It's a well-oiled machine.
I mean, it's a hotbed for NFL prospects, always, for the last 8 years.
Exactly. So I don't know. He's obviously incredible, but I don't know how, like, to be a generational talent. Think about how often guys are like, this guy is going to be legit. The first-round QB is going to be amazing. We've seen Rosen flop. Haskins has flopped so far.
Yeah, but those guys weren't projected to go number 1 overall.
I mean, Rosen was for a long period of time. Rosen's a top 10 pick. I mean, Leinart, Vince Young, these guys flop and flop.
Jamarcus.
I mean, nothing. Jamarcus. Oh, the Jamarcus Russell, generational talent.
Yeah.
Guys flop all the time. You can't crown a king until he's got to the kingdom.
I understand
you know what I'm saying? But I think if you're the Jets, trade it. If you're the Giants, trade it. I think Darnold and Jones are good and get what you can to rebuild the defenses because that's how you really get it done.
Yeah.
Falcons take it to, you know, back up Matt Ryan.
Yeah, of course. Matt Ryan's getting up there in age. He's digressing.
If you're a team like the Vikings, you move Vikings who are strapped for cash, you got to do what the Rams did. They took Goff on a cheap rookie deal, yep, and they paid everyone around him. You got to get rid of Cousins. You got to if you have to trade up to get Trevor Lawrence, you trade up to get Trevor Lawrence. He's your guy. You have good pieces available. Draft around him. Pay the other guys. Don't pay the quarterback. It's huge. I mean, not having to pay your quarterback. I mean, it's irreplaceable because he is the guy that's going to command the biggest money. Unfortunately, what we saw today with Dak Prescott, and I love Dak Prescott, and Toss, you were the whole Dallas squad in our house today was like, distraught. I mean, I love him. I think he's a great quarterback. He's a good guy. He's had a brutal year.
I mean, it's pretty. Yeah. It's how could you not be? It was a very severe injury. Very apparent that how severe it was when it happened.
They're going to be in the market. But they didn't pay him. He unfortunately didn't take the money.
Right.
So now he's in a precarious situation. The Cowboys are in a situation where, listen, they are man. The guy who's driving the Cowboys bus is all gas, no brakes. The guy is he's a run and gun, shoot first, ask questions later. It is not beyond me.
If he takes Trevor Lawrence?
He trades the house and goes for Trevor Lawrence. It's not like he could. He could conceivably do it. That way you don't have to pay your QB. You could retool and pay other guys. I mean, I'm looking at teams that are not going to be picking in the top 10 necessarily. Like the Jags could go up and do it. A lot of teams can do it.
I personally feel like with the Cowboys at least, that they would try to find someone similar to Dak. And that to me seems to be like Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Right, you know, and not have to give up as much. Right, I mean, let's say the Cowboys stink, right, and Andy Dalton can't get it done. They win 4 games this season. You know, lucky if they win 5. They're picking in the top 10. They're gonna be able to get Justin.
Well, they're honestly in a position, I think, where their current team sits and how dynamic their offense is, how dynamic the weapons are. They have Ezekiel Elliott, who we've said is when he's at his best is the best 3-tool running back in the league.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to finish like 7-9 because the rest of the NFC East is so bad. We have 5 games left in the division. That's 7 wins.
Yeah.
I think the Giants will get a game. I don't think the Giants are going to be in a position.
They played a close game today.
Joe Judge.
They played multiple close games. The only game where they got really, really handed it to them was against the 49ers.
Yeah. And I think that with the Giants, they going into today, at least, they were the least penalized team. He's running a good ship over there.
Yeah, they just don't have the weapons.
No, but the biggest issue with the Cowboys, who have the weapons, Collins, Smith, Frederick retired. Their offensive line's, which is their strength.
Yeah.
So Andy Dalton, doesn't matter who's behind the center, their offensive line's depleted. We already saw it with Dak today. They were getting through. And that Giants pass rush is not unbelievable.
Right.
No, it's not. It is better.
Trevor Lawrence, I think, will be a Steeler, a Viking, or a Falcon.
Not a Pat?
No, we're not going to do it.
You think, wow, those three teams are the three teams that...
Steelers, Vikings.
I think Falcons. you're giving the New York teams too much credit. I think you're giving them too much credit because I wouldn't put it past them to make a bonehead decision like this.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And yeah, I want it on the record.
We look at what the Titans got, mm-hmm. giving up that first overall pick in the Goff trade.
Yeah.
And yes, Goff took the Rams to the Super Bowl with McVay, although they shouldn't have been there. They should have gotten bounced by New Orleans in the game before. But we've also seen people bash on Goff for, you know, what he's done last year. This year seems to be bouncing back. The Rams look good again. But Tennessee got so much. They got a first-round pick in 2016, 2 second-round picks in 2016, yep. a third-round pick in 2016, a first-round pick in 2017, and another third-round pick in 2017. And that was draft capital that the Titans used very valuably. And look at the team they've put together now.
It's funny because the Rams did the same thing when they traded with the Washington football team for RG3.
Yeah.
They got so many picks.
It's a lot. It's
and point being, the Jets need bodies.
And yeah,
competent bodies.
Yeah,
they got nothing
on their roster, which they don't have right now.
Yeah, nothing.
Exactly.
I don't think that. But last thing, I really think the Jags like Gardner enough that they're not going to move.
The farm.
I don't think so.
We'll see. They may be in a position to let it fall where it.
I watched that guy play, and I think he makes very smart decisions.
He's fun.
He's got a good arm.
Not a great team though.
No. But they have holes.
I see the Lions taking him.
Trevor?
Yeah.
Potentially.
Stafford's getting up there, not as healthy as he used to be.
I just don't know if they'll be in a position. I could see a team like the Vikings and the Steelers like throwing down. I could see the Falcons being in a spot for it.
But I mean, okay, Steelers throw down, but like, you know, they have the 32 overall pick. I mean, how much capital they're going to really have to throw down?
It's true.
You know, they're one of the best teams in football right now.
It's true.
Okay. My question.
Yeah.
In the same vein, coaching firings have already, it's already started.
Yeah.
Right. We've got O'Brien left. We didn't get to talk about this one. Dan Quinn gets fired.
Thank God times two.
You just mentioned that the Falcons are, you know, they have not won a game yet this season, and they've lost two of them in just
terrible
abysmal
fashion. I mean, classic Falcons fashion, blowing the lead.
Yeah. Just choke artist. Who's next?
Adam Gase.
Is Gase for sure next? And who's after him? Is he the last guy that gets fired this year?
Adam Gase, without a doubt, has to be next. I don't know how it's not already happened. They're going to play the Dolphins next week, and the Dolphins are just going to work them. That's going to put them at 0-6. He's gone. There's no way.
You can't have an
0-6
team.
What's the fucking point?
What are they waiting for?
I have no clue. I really have no clue.
I don't know. I really don't. I'm with Nick. I have no idea.
It's definitely one of the most poorly ran franchises in all of sports.
It's become that way.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because they were like in a
pretty good spot 2 years ago.
Yeah, they were like, they went to back-to-back AFC championship with Sanchez. You just need a head coach that's competent. You need Sanchez wasn't good. Look, they drafted Mangold and Ferguson in the same 06 draft. One at the back and one at the front. Like 29th pick with Mangold and 4th pick with DeBrickashaw. Build it on the offensive line. You build it on the line. Mark Sanchez isn't good.
No.
Clearly, not playing anymore. He's done.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know why they're not fired him yet. I don't know.
Okay, so it's just so he's gone, obviously.
Yeah, I think the other one for me is Matt Patricia. If the Lions sink a little bit further down, I think that he's gone. I think that he's not on the loosest chain here.
No, he's just like not likable.
He's not.
So they may kind of cut ties. That's a good one.
I think he's better as a defensive coordinator anyway.
Yeah, I think Zimmer could be in trouble because...
Well, they played a really close game tonight, but he is in trouble. He made a questionable decision at the end of the game against the Seahawks.
Questionable, except that when it works, then you're like, I like that it was risky.
Right.
I like that you played to win.
So that's what happened today with Romeo Crennel and the Texans, right? They had like 4th and 4 or 4th and 5 or something. They were up by... I think they're up by like 8 points or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And he decides to go for it, and he throws it to Brandon Cooks, and Brandon Cooks scores. It's like the same situation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's
right.
They played a close one. Every week it's like the Vikings played a close one. It's like at what point do you go?
Can
you close?
I think you stick with that play. I mean, I still think he made the right decision there because it's fourth and inches.
You hear Collinsworth, and he said by the book, you know, by the statistics and mathematics, like it says that you go for this year. And I agree.
I didn't mind that. I just like
I would rather I'm If you kick the field goal, you're up 8. We were talking about it earlier.
You can't lose. You can't lose in regulation.
No, you can't, but you're automatically giving the ball back to Russell Wilson.
Right.
Who is going to drive. He's going to give his team a shot. And then the second, you know, the 2-point conversion, we've seen teams be very successful with that this year. A lot of teams have so many different plays in their playbook to account for the 2-point conversion. And I think you go aggressive. The team that's better than you, you have to go aggressive to try and beat
them. Of course.
And
you also don't want to give Russell Wilson another opportunity in overtime.
Right.
I mean, if it comes down to that in overtime, I mean, Russell Wilson has the edge there. You don't want to put
that. Yeah, but they gave him the opportunity, and he won. Exactly. Regardless, he had
his defense gave him the opportunity first, though, which is something
by making the stop.
They've had big question marks behind them, and they
stepped up. I mean, they still lit up some points tonight, but they stepped up.
Yeah. Cool. Another question. I will throw it down. Speaking of firing, I'll throw it to both of you guys. I want both of your opinions on this. Coach Herman.
Of the Texas Longhorns.
The Texas Longhorns. Have the chickens come to roost?
I believe so.
Okay.
I do. I mean, look, I think as Texans fans, you know, we're always so quick to judge and point fingers, and we always want immediate results. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's had his recruiting class. They flashed a stat, you know, during the game that said we have like 53 4- and 5-star recruits. Like, they've got the talent.
He's a fantastic recruiter.
He's a great recruiter. Awesome
recruiter. He's one of the best, yeah.
He's one of the best.
Good for him.
Good for him, exactly. But you know what? You're losing to TCU. You're losing close. You almost lost to Texas Tech.
Well, we should be 1-3.
Exactly.
I mean, there's clearly a huge culture issue right now when you see a photo that goes viral of Sam Ehlinger going eyes to eyes. You know, the Eyes of Texas is the song that they play at UT games at the beginning of the game and at the very end of the game, and it's tradition that, you know, all the fans stay and the team goes to where the band is, stands in front of the bands, throws up their hook'em sign, and they all sing the song together. And win or lose, you always do it. The entire locker, Sam was the only guy out there for the Eyes of Texas. He was the only player. I don't know if you guys have seen that photo, but
I didn't know that. That's
it's just Sam throwing up the horns with no one else around him.
That's pretty crazy, man.
The culture is horrible.
Yeah.
It's like the least disciplined team.
College, so he can't Brady them and like actually get in their faces because it's the coach's job to do that. And that's why I think Herman has had a much longer leash than Charlie Strong. And, you know, he has won more games.
Because Charlie Strong's black. We have racist alumni.
That's part of that.
Definitely,
yes.
A fair point.
For sure.
For sure.
If Charlie Strong 100%. Was not black,
they will say that it's because he went and won that Sugar Bowl game against Georgia, where we still only won 9 games that season.
We beat Georgia, and everyone thought this is the turn. It has gone completely the opposite way.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a punter get an unsportsmanlike conduct other than Marquette King?
Oh, that was ridiculous. First of all, the special teams is one of the biggest issues here with this team, and that is a fundamental thing that has to do with coaching, right?
100%.
Special teams needs to be your soundest division on your team.
Can't have any penalties.
No penalties, no block kicks, no blown assignments.
Can we need
to fucking do your job.
We need to like seriously sit down those guys that are international guys who are rugby punters,
right,
and tell them there is a time and place
to do your rugby kick.
And when you're, because I get it, you can boom it 70 yards and it's an excellent kick. Every time you have the time to do it, but it takes way too long to develop. And if one block falls, obviously that exact thing happened in the Texas game, it's going to get blocked. And when you're at your own 10 punting, you can't do that.
Can't.
He's like doing an outfit change in the fucking backfield. He's like changing clothes back there.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous. No.
He had a penalty.
I mean, look, the special teams has to be the soundest division on your team. Because you know what? When you do special teams, you're playing it safe. You're trusting the outcome of your special teams. To, all right, we're going to punt the ball to give them field position.
So it has to work.
Trust them.
So it has
to work. We're going to kick a field goal because I'm taking these points. It has to work. We're kicking the ball off because it has to work. Special teams is so important, and that's a fundamental coaching thing.
On the onside kick, we had half the guys on one side, half the guys on the other. They know it's coming.
Right.
What are we waiting for? Why are we just like, well, we're going to try to fix... No. Put your whole team
on
one side of the ball.
Amazing kick.
Every time. He actually knows how to do it.
He's a great kicker.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's an NFL kicker. Yeah.
What else could you? I mean, Epps was close, but like you have everybody there on the sideline. You know, it just blew past Epps, and it was toast after that.
A lot of people were also putting down Sam Ehlinger. I am so anti putting him down. He played a fucking amazing game.
Yeah,
he has some accuracy problems.
Sure, he's
whatever.
Not an NFL quarterback.
He's
yet.
Not a prototype. But you know what? He's got so much goddamn heart. He runs his ass off. He's a leader. He's, like you said, he's the only guy who was out there. He loves the shit out of this school, and I'll ride or die with Sam Ehlinger. I mean, I still think he's a great
player. The offensive line had penalties that were ridiculous, like holding penalty at the end of the game. That was in overtime. That was it. It was over after that penalty. I mean, I just don't understand the penalties. I don't understand some of the play calling. It's just it's frustrating, man. I don't care how well you recruit. Right. Put it to a test.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, the play calling was not working. The only thing that was working was that Sam was improvising and beating them on the ground. Yep. And he was, you know, talk about heart and hustle. I mean, those extra 2 yards where every guys time. Are at third and eight and they get six and then push forward for three
that's
more.
Sam.
That's him. That's his MO.
Yeah. But who's the best running back on our team is Bijan Robinson. I don't know why he was underutilized.
Like 10 carries.
Because
he's a freshman.
He's a freshman.
Whatever. It does not fucking matter.
Win the football game.
The best player plays.
No, that guy is an awesome.
Fumbles,
an awesome pass blocker.
Okay. So penalties, special teams, and turnovers has to do with coaching. Protect the fucking football. Keontae Ingram, 2 carries, right? TCU game, fumbles on the goal line. His next carry, fumbles on the opening possession. 2 carries, 2 fumbles.
You're not focused, right. Man.
You got to know that guy, he's in his know your player, know your personnel, know that he's in his head. So get the other guy out there at the beginning, establish some run game with Bijan and Roshan, and then go to Keontae when they're started, where he feels less pressure on himself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the beginning of the game. It's Texas OU. It's the biggest game of the year for all of these guys.
And this is the worst OU team since we've been there.
Oh yeah, they almost lost 3 in a row.
They can't close. They didn't close against us even.
I don't think Rattler's that impressive at all.
He's underwhelming. I think he was good in the first game they played, and since then has been underwhelming. He's not. His head's not in the game. He's very immature.
I'd be so worried.
They took out Mordecai. They put in Mordecai, the Jew.
I'd be so worried if I was an OU fan with Spencer Rattler. He almost fumbled. He did fumble the ball. He almost turned over the ball.
I think
still, though, like you see the flashes of.
He just got to grow. He's a freshman. He's got to grow up a little bit. I mean, it's a
yes, no, but look at what that coaching. Year. But look at what that coaching staff does on the opposite side of the field. They yank him in the second quarter because he's making mistakes.
Right.
So they bring the other guy in, the wily veteran. Then once he's had a couple of good drives, we're back at even. They bring they have a chance to talk to Spencer at halftime. They bring him back out in the second half and
plays
look,
a little better. Yeah.
And he's more effective.
Yeah, well, I think Lincoln Riley is a great coach. I think he is the opposite of what Tom Herman does.
Tom Herman's playing slap ass and beer pong, and Lincoln Riley's going home with the hottest
also,
girl at the bar.
Also, if, you know, there's rumors out there, we don't know if they're true or not, but if Urban Meyer is actually interested in the job, you have to take him.
100%.
He wants it.
You think so?
Yeah,
I'd be so fucking pumped.
Urban Meyer will be in burnt orange.
Damn, that's crazy. Urban Meyer takes the job away from his young
grasshopper apprentice. See you, Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
All right, give it to one of you guys. I'm done. Those are my 3 questions. Kick it over to you, Tassopoulos. What are you feeling, man?
All right, well, we have the ALCS going on. We've got the NLCS going on. The Rays take game one against the Stros.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the rest of this series.
Pitching, brother.
Yeah.
You got to – Pitching, look at the Yankees.
Stros came out hot in the first inning, but that's all they got.
Yeah, Altuve hit one home run.
And the Astros, the Yankees have the best lineups in the American League. And I don't care what you say about, oh, they cheated. Yeah, they weren't good as good this year. Their lineup is still amazing, Houston's. The Yankees have the best lineup. If what if you hold to one run? You got to be able to pitch with the best of them. We saw with the Yankees. Chapman is not a winner. He blows it every time he can. And the Rays can pitch with the best of them. They have a great 1-2 punch. Their bullpen's fantastic. Charlie Morton's been there before, and their lineup can keep up for the most part. If they need a hit, they can hit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a tough out. The Astros cannot pitch with the Rays. They cannot. Now,
anyone can really pitch with the Rays, to be honest.
I think
besides the Dodgers.
I think the Braves' young guys have been impressive. Now, the issue with these two teams is this. The Rays have game one. If the Rays kind of end this quick – and they can rest their arms, and this Dodgers Braves thing goes all the way.
Glasnow,
if you're if you're chill, listen, if you have a couple days off and you're the Rays and you can rest your guys, the Dodgers Braves series is already starting after you, and it can go the distance. Yeah. If that goes to seven and the Rays can kind of get out in five and they got a head start, it's not sexy for baseball,
very
but they can get it done.
Very advantageous for them going into the World Series.
By
for
the
sure.
way, you know, fans out there, I bought Game 3 tickets to the NLCS. I need to sell them, so. Hit me up if you want to go.
You did?
No, yeah, I did. I mean, you gotta buy them in case your team goes.
And how much were they?
Honestly, pretty cheap. They were $70 a ticket, and I had to buy a pack of four. So,
you have tickets to the NLCS
Game 3.
Yep. When is it?
It's Wednesday. We have to fly out to Texas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd you?
Oh yeah, I was like, oh, because the ALCS is here.
Yeah.
NLCS.
But you can't even go to the ALCS in California, so. They're only, I mean, the only fans are going to the games in Texas.
Fans only.
Yeah. Only,
although,
only fans.
Only fans. Just the fans. Fans only. yeah, but I do think, obviously, we can't ride out the Astros. Yeah, this is a team that can take any series
to
the distance.
100%.
I think they did out. They out hit the Rays, which just even further proves that the Rays pitching just is very tactical.
I'd prefer to see the Rays go because I like their talent. I like their guys. You know, I like their coach, too. I mean, I think it's a fun team to watch, but I think for a story, I think it'd be really awesome to see the Astros
Dodgers
and the Dodgers
and
again.
Watch the Astros beat the Dodgers. We say, okay, fine, we're not cheating this time. We're still gonna beat you guys.
I think
that would be interesting. I think also the Dodgers walloping them would be pretty hilarious.
It would be the most NBA storybook thing for like the Lakers to get it after Kobe's unfortunate passing. It would be the most MLB storybook thing for the Dodgers to go win. It would be classic baseball, like worst case scenario. The Astros go win.
Right.
Worst case is the Astros win because everyone hates them. They cheated, and it'd be the biggest slap in the face, and that's totally going to happen.
Right.
It's 100% going to happen.
I mean, if they get past the Rays.
Yeah. Pitching. I mean, I think the Rays are going to. I don't know. I think the Rays are tough, and I think the Rays have the edge, especially winning game one.
But I mean, then again, we're not talking about the Braves that much, and that's a young, exciting team that I think can keep up with the Dodgers.
Ian Anderson and Fried and Wright, they can ball.
Right. And those hitters. That lineup is
that
just
lineup's
as good.
Just as good.
Just as good as the Dodgers.
That Dodgers Braves series is going to be awesome. All right, Nicholas, throw us one, man.
Questions.
What's the truth?
Trying to think here. I mean, there's so many things happened this weekend. Okay, I mean, we talked about Dak, right? And it's so unfortunate, that injury. Yeah. You know what I mean? But going forward, I mean, how does that look for his contract? You know what I mean?
We got to figure out. When is he going to be able to be back?
Okay, so
first?
So what I read today via the Twitter, they say that the surgery, usually a guy can recover within 6 months.
Okay.
So
because
the issues, though, are the fact that, like, the bone came out of the skin, so, like, you're dealing
fracture.
With, you're dealing with infection potentially, you know, and, like, it's different. It's kind of more of, like, an Alex Smith, like, scenario. You never know, like, because that turned for the worse. And he could have lost his leg. He could have died.
Right. Best case scenario at 6 months.
Best case scenario, right? But like, if he's ready to play next year, then he gets the option to do another franchise tag, or he's heading to free agency. I mean, he obviously blew it by not taking the money that he was offered.
Blew it.
So is a team going to be willing to give him multiple years on a contract, or is he going to do another franchise tag? What's going to happen?
He's a talented guy. I think he has the potential. He's still young. He's not old by any means.
Like 26, 27?
Yeah, he's the potential to be a top 10 guy. He's taken the steps year in and year out to be a guy that, like a game manager type.
He's been there, too.
To be like a thrower. This guy can really sling the rock.
Yeah.
He turns the ball over a little bit, but you know what? Some guys, you know, Mahomes we've been more careless this year. Guys turn the ball over. I'm not as, like, you know, questioning that. He's not Jameis Winston.
Yep. Well, Mahomes had his first turnover of the year today.
Yeah, he Mahomes has been.
I mean,
careless.
Russ had two picks today too.
Mahomes has been a little careless. He just is a little too.
I think his confidence just. I think he needs to come down.
He needed that loss today. But with Dak, Dak's a good runner, and it helps his game. He's not an elite runner, but he's a very good runner.
Right. He's a threat.
And his mobility in the pocket's amazing. His ability to roll out, his ability to move, he's big too.
It's great on the run.
So I have to see how that looks before I can throw him some serious money. And that lends itself to a team either taking a risk on him. I don't. If the Cowboys weren't going to do it then, they don't think they're going to do it now. I think.
Well, they still offered him a shit ton of money.
I think he has to do the 1 year deal with Dallas and see what happens.
Yeah,
and I think that we are the franchise. I think with this happening, like the one thing about the Dallas Cowboys is that in past, well, one, we love the narrative.
Yeah, well, you love the narrative, and also you're a pretty loyal.
We are
franchise.
Loyal. We are loyal franchise, like, especially to our quarterback.
Look how long Jason Garrett stayed there.
Look how long Tony Romo did. Look how long Jason Witten did. I mean, like, this is a franchise that does care about their stars.
Yep.
Because
the brand thing too.
You're in the spotlight of the media. If you're a star for the Dallas Cowboys, everyone's gonna know who you are.
Right.
I think that, you know, whatever these receivers do, all these amazing rookie receivers, the fact that CeeDee Lamb is on the Dallas Cowboys puts him ahead of the other guys because everyone's going to be talking about him.
That receiving core, to me, I mean, obviously, it's the best in football to me.
For sure.
Gallup is ridiculous.
He's great.
Cooper is awesome.
And Lamb's
CeeDee
Lamb
is
amazing.
So dangerous.
He's already a top 20 receiver.
And even that guy, Travis Wilson. Like
Cedric Wilson.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He's got a cannon. Threw a touchdown at
they ran the Philly special.
Yeah. I had a, you know, Lamb's amazing.
I was thinking Travis Fulgham. That's
yeah.
why.
Oh, he was crazy.
We'll get to that too.
Guys coming out of the woodwork. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Philly needed somebody. Lamb, Judy, Jefferson's been amazing.
Ruggs had a great game today too.
That's what I was getting to. So Chenault's been amazing.
Ruggs had a great game. Had two catches.
But he's a barn burner.
But guess who also had a great game today?
Who?
Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns.
Great. Duvernay, they're starting to use him. It's a great rookie.
Colin Johnson had his first touchdown.
It's a great rookie class. My dad said to me. My dad's
Chenault
a huge sports guy.
Too.
Yeah, Chenault's great. I'm a big Chenault guy. He looks swag out there in the Jags uniform. My dad, he goes, I don't understand it. I don't get how. Because he was telling me about his fantasy team. He's like, we have Ruggs on the bench. I'll never understand how they took Lamb or Judy. They passed in these guys or Jefferson or Ayuk. I would have taken all of them ahead of Ruggs.
Because it's all pick one.
It is pick 'em A and B. I go, all right, well, let's just see how Ruggs is. Let's just let him get back in the swing because he's been hurt.
Yeah. It went off today.
He texts me and says, hey, I'm about to take off. I'm like, yeah, you're about to take off. Andrew Ruggs took off twice. He's off twice. He's off to the races.
Not to mention, like, we haven't seen much of Denzel Mims or Jalen Reagor.
No, Mims has been hurt. Rager's been hurt.
Exactly.
Best abilities available.
This could prove to be the best wide receiver class in the history of the NFL.
The Steelers should just.
It's so early to say, but.
Steelers should trade Juju.
Yeah.
Should they though?
I don't know. I think that's the second best receiving core.
To kind of dip back on that previous question, I just like if Ben is as good as he's gonna be today, like how long can that guy play for?
Yeah. You might as well like
I gotta need
keep,
to
keep all those guys around.
He doesn't even need to move. And we know that even with the lack of mobility that he has, he is quite good in the same way you're talking about Dak in finessing around the pocket. Which that's so important. I mean, I know that like for future quarterbacks, for the way that the modern NFL operates, you do need a guy who can go run you a first down on 3rd and 5. You don't need it, but it helps to have that. And that's what Dak was. I wish that he had just slid after 5 today instead of – you never know, and he's a competitor, and he's going after it.
Yeah, you don't expect that. He was in shock, too. You saw him picking up his leg, and he was in shock.
Yeah.
A side question on this topic. We were talking about receivers. I want to start – okay, are you guys on board with me? Let's – get the campaign going. DeAndre Hopkins, greatest receiver of all time.
No.
He can get there. I don't know about the numbers. I don't know if he's going to catch Jerry Rice, but physically.
He's awesome.
He is probably the most talented receiver I've ever seen. And I'm a big Randy Moss fan.
Nope.
And he is ridiculous.
Not better than Megatron, not better than Randy Moss.
I don't know, man.
It's impossible. I think it's physically impossible to be better than Megatron.
Really? Well, because size, but I mean, in terms of catching and what he's able to do with his body,
it's
I mean,
physically,
route running too. Megatron was a jump ball guy. Go downfield, jump ball.
Megatron
double,
was
double,
an, he's an anything guy. He set the record for most receiving yards in a year.
Oh yeah, I know that. I agree. I was a big fan. I had a jersey. I rock it every now and then. But DeAndre Hopkins, man, what he does with the ball in his hands. What he does without the ball in it, his route running, his hands, his catch radius.
He's also not getting in, he's not getting suspended for one game, or not suspended, but his team isn't not letting him play
Michael
because
Thomas
he's punching another
us.
Player on his team.
Michael Thomas is dicking Toss and I. I'm no longer, I love him, but I'm no longer, I'm Team Hopkins for sure now. I'm Team Hopkins best in the league for sure.
Best in the league. Okay, well, will he finish top 5 all time, you think? receivers.
That's tough. Rice, Moss, T.O. was fucking baller.
I know, man, but the dude can ball.
Yeah, he's insane. He's insane. I mean, Megatron is ridiculous.
It's just with DeAndre Hopkins, you're not surprised when he goes 6 receptions, 131 yards, and a touchdown. That's just a regular day for him.
I'm surprised that he didn't have more receptions. That's like my surprise.
Well, because Kyler Murray's been spreading it out a lot. He's got a lot of guys to throw to.
Yeah.
Megatron.
Isabella. Yeah.
Megatron averaged in his career 16 yards per reception.
That's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. No, I mean, he's a physical specimen. In the same way that you look at LeBron and you're like, there's never been another NBA player who's like
that's like
that
me
build.
With Megatron. I love Hopkins has the best hands I've seen. I could say that.
Yep. I will see. I mean,
and out of the slot.
A lot of career left.
Best out of the slot.
A lot of career left, and Megatron didn't play as many years as
he
should have. He
hung it up.
He hung it up really too early, I think.
I will say there's
selfishly, I feel like he hung it up early, but
there are so many talented receivers in the NFL currently. I am really, really excited to just watch and see how the rest of DK Metcalf's career unfolds because that guy is unbelievable.
He's awesome.
I love him.
I like
talking about physical specimen.
Everyone knows that receiving 1-2 punch might be
top three.
Top three as well.
Tyler Lockett, him, and David Moore.
Yeah,
David Moore's not like that, you know, scary. But
who's the what? You don't think that they're number one?
No, I think the Cowboys are number one
with Cooper and Lamb.
I think they're number one. I think it's a toss
up. I think their trio is the best, no doubt. Are they the best duo?
If I count. I know he's a tight end, but Kelce and Hill is the best.
Well, that's a 1-2 punch. Yeah, I mean, they've got the best all-around weapons in terms of their running backs, their tight ends, their receivers. But
that's a tough question.
If I'm looking at just receivers, Cowboys number one for me.
Yeah.
Better than, yeah, I mean, Godwin can't stay healthy, so neither can Evans, really.
Yeah. Right. Juice and Beckham, but Juice had a bad game. It's tough.
Juice had two bad
Julio and Calvin,
today.
If he's healthy. There's so many good tandems. You guys have any more cues for the squad? We hit everything, honestly.
Yeah. Shout out to Rafael Nadal. Getting it done.
Did he win on clay again?
He did.
Nice. Was it the French Open this weekend?
Yeah, it was the French Open, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think... Has he ever dropped a French Open? I don't know if he has. He's, like, absurd on clay.
Mm-hmm.
He's... Yeah.
College football is about to get interesting. Before we let everyone go,
Georgia Bama,
A&M beat Florida.
Yep.
I mean, the Florida's defense blew it.
Real quickly, their tight end Pitts for Florida.
Yeah,
Kyle Pitts, so good.
Is there any way that a tight end could ever win the Heisman? You think? He's having a ridiculous
year. Yeah, but I think there's guys that are having better seasons.
Of course. But, like, does he get invited to a ceremony if he keeps up at this pace?
He had a good game. He didn't have a barn-burning game.
He still had a touchdown, but the games before that, he's had, like, three.
I think his quarterback, I would be more interested to see our old boy, Bouchel, to see if he gets, like, a little look. He's been amazing.
Yeah, he's been great.
Zach Wilson on BYU has been interesting.
Yep.
There's a couple.
They played a close game against UTSA, but
yeah, there's been. Najee Harris was great.
When was the last wide receiver serious contender?
I don't know.
Don't say it. I know the last guy to get invited that was a wide receiver was D.D. Westbrook.
Oh, it's right. He was him and Baker were both there.
Yeah,
yeah.
D.D.
That's the last guy. Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. He's a beast. He's better than Noah Fant. Noah Fant's kind of similar style,
for sure. Pitts, he's saying.
Pitts, yeah. I mean, yeah. Pitts, yeah, no, Pitts is going to, I think he's going to be a top 10 pick next
year. Elijah Moore and Ole Miss. I know you like the Ole Miss swag, Nick. Elijah Moore is good on Ole Miss. I'm a big fan of his.
I mean, I like their, like, blue uniform. That's about it.
Yeah, and Terrace Marshall had 3 touchdowns at 200 plus.
But, yeah, no, you're right. College football will get interesting, especially with the Big Ten coming back, with the Pac coming back as well. You know, it's going to add just so much more uncertainty to the mix.
Yeah.
We'll see how those teams even fare with this much time off.
I think it's going to help them.
It's going to help them. Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, like, I really think that this whole pandemic process, all the uncertainty that went into college football, I don't know what it is, but some teams, you know, don't look as sharp as they should have. You know,
well, LSU has a massive turnover, and LSU is going to play Florida this week. Now LSU can go and beat Florida, and that can be.
But that's three games in a row.
That would be chaos.
That'd be chaos.
That'd be three games in a row that LSU loses.
Mississippi State has A&M has to go to Mississippi State. SEC can be the one that eats each other alive.
Well, the Big 12's already doing it.
Since the Big 12's already doing it, Cincinnati's 3-0. UNC's and Notre Dame are top ranked teams. It's crazy. Yep.
Mac Brown, baby.
Mac Brown. Fans out there, drag ball, feet inbound, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt at your PKs because they free hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We out you. We love you.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.